and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and I'm just kind of curious, who out there listening went to go see the touring band, REO Speedwagon, with Rick Springfield opening up? Here in Florence, South Carolina, we got the pleasure of them coming to our small little town and performing here. This is kind of interesting for us because we are a small town. I mean, I remember moving here in the mid-80s and, you know, there wasn't much going on. And here in 2024, there's still not a lot going on, although our town is growing and we're getting more restaurants and that sort of thing. But as far as like entertainment stuff, we're still kind of new to people even thinking they could come to Florence, even though they pass by Florence all the time. Florence is weirdly situated halfway between New York and Miami. And if you're coming to Myrtle Beach, you're going to come through Florence if you come from anywhere out west, because I-20 dead ends right at 95, and you got to come through Florence to go to Myrtle Beach. And we all know Myrtle Beach is like one of the top tourist destinations of the East Coast. So it is kind of interesting that it's taken this long for people to find Florence as a destination of where they want to perform. I remember a few years ago, I got to see Bert Kreischer perform here in Florence. And I remember thinking, wow, I've always had to travel like at least 4 hours away to see him. I guess Charlotte's like 2.5. Anyway, I've always had to travel. It's always been like a destination thing of I'm going to go and I'm going to see this and it's going to be great. And it's about the journey, you know, and I got to book a hotel room and I got to make sure I have travel situated and there's Uber in town. And, you know, this is obviously a big enough town because it's Charlotte or Macon or whatever. I mean, Augusta, these areas where they're supposed to have these bands or these shows or these comedians or whatever. And I'm here in Florence and, you know, Bert comes to Florence and I'm in the crowd and I've got great seats and I'm looking around and I'm like, where's everybody at? Does nobody know that Bert's here or are they just busy? Is our town just not big enough to support somebody like this? And so, you know, I've never really been to our civic center and seen a large crowd, but last night, we got to see Rick Springfield open up an REO Speedwagon headline for this great concert that was pretty packed. It wasn't sold out, but it was very full. Now, the band, both bands, are made up of groups of people who were in their 70s. I said it, 70s. Yep, that's right, 70s. And the fans that paid money to see them perform were probably 50 and above, if I had to guess. And still, there was a very full crowd there. You know, right off the bat, Rick Springfield came out. There was an opening band. I didn't really catch their name or care to find out anymore. The opening band played a couple songs. It was a man and a woman, and they sang, and it was okay. But then Rick Springfield comes out, and I'm thinking, okay, I haven't really Googled anything, but I know he's got some songs I've heard before. Is it Jesse's Girl, or is it, what is it? Yeah, it's Jesse's Girl. That's right. Okay, I remember that's the big hit. Yeah. This is big number one hit. And I was like, I think there's a couple more songs I'm familiar with, but I don't really know. But I'm just going to go. It'll be fun. You know, whatever. Growing up, I didn't really have any interaction with Rick Springfield, even though I know that he was like a teenage heartthrob because all the girls would talk about, oh my God, Rick Springfield. Ah. And he was on some soap opera. I had to Google it on Wikipedia. It says he was on General Hospital from 81 to 83, and then from 2005 to 2008, and then again in 2012, which I didn't. No, I actually watched General Hospital when I was younger because my grandmother would watch soap operas. And if I spent time with her, we would always watch soap operas. That was what we did. And then we took a nap. So I did see him in a TV show called Californication back in 2009. When he was on that show. I didn't watch it then. I watched it years later on streaming service. But he was also in Hot in Cleveland, which I'd forgotten about. He was in Lucifer, which I didn't even know. I'd seen that show. He was in The Supernatural. He did quite a bit of acting. So, listen, he's 74 years old and does not look it. Weirdly, at a certain part of the show, he took his shirt off to play the last couple of songs. And I was, my first thought was, holy crap, he's in great shape. But then my second thought was, why would you take your shirt off? And I mean, I get it. You're 74. And you look like you're in your late 30s, physically, you know, kudos. Good job. He won the genetic lottery on that. But yeah, it was kind of weird. I mean, whatever. Hey man, you're 74 and you look like you're in your 30s or 40s. Good for you. I am in my 40s and I don't look like that. So I guess shame on me or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, so he came out and I knew like a song. And then it was a while before I knew other songs. He played a lot of songs that were his new hits. And they're not bad. They're not bad. Really couldn't tell what a lot of it was being said because it was kind of fast. And yeah, I probably have to watch it like as a music video. See, here's the thing where he really became successful because of music videos. His hit Jesse's Girl became popular in 81 and that song was super popular and they made a video and everybody could see that he was a handsome looking young fellow. And it was a cool song. It was a catchy song. I remember it, man. I've listened to it quite a lot. And he won, you know, number one hit, Grammy Award winner, best male vocal artist. And then he had four more top hits. I've Done Everything for You. You've Done Nothing for Me. You know that one? Don't Talk to Strangers. Remember that one? Affair of the Heart and Love Somebody. Which all of those came out in 81 and 82. And then he did some acting, you know, and whatever. It's fine. His band was great. The sound quality was really good. I was impressed with Florence's ability to really rock out with a band. I was kind of nervous because Florence is our local, you know, place. And let's face it, they built that Civic Center with the hopes of being able to do something like this. But for a lot of years, they only made their living by having a semi-pro hockey team here called the PD Pride. And it was great watching them play, but I don't think they've done any updates to the seating since then. And that's been quite a long time ago, probably 20 years. And sitting in the seats, you can tell that they need to be refurbished. The armrests are falling off of things, and the backs of them are very movable, to the point that you kind of question if they're going to fall out of the things that are supposed to hold them in place. But the sound quality was really great. If I had to criticize Florence, the Civic Center for anything, it's that to the left of the stage, they have the load in, load out dock. And at a certain point they left the door open and you could see headlights and cars going by and kind of took off of the mystique of the show. It's kind of disappointed in that part. But the sound quality was really great. The lighting was decent. It was kind of weird that I guess we were sitting in an aisle that was the main thoroughfare for people to walk in and out. And so we had a stream of people nonstop just running up and down the aisles. And I say running loosely because of the age and the physical shape of the people walking by. They sort of lumbered and used various means to not fall down. With canes and a lot of grabbing the handholds and taking one step slowly at a time and hoping they didn't fall, that sort of thing. But still, it was cool. Rick Springfield rocking out in Florence. I was like, all right, right on. So then after Rick Springfield left the stage, REO Speedwagon took the stage. And listen, I'll be honest, I couldn't think of a single REO Speedwagon song. I was just like, I know they sang a lot of stuff because my stepdad had the records and the records had the cool artwork on it. And I remember listening to some of it. And I remember somewhere along the way hearing them on television shows or movies as background music. And I was like, I just can't picture it. I don't know, but I know I'm going to have a good time because it's got to be great. They're REO Speedwagon. I mean, who doesn't know REO Speedwagon? Well, so I did Wikipedia on REO Speedwagon, and here's the interesting part, is the band formed in 67, and since then has had many variations of band members. If you read about them, they started off in Champaign, Illinois, from a group of kids that all went to the same school, and they just kept changing over the years. It's interesting because it's kind of like a lot of bands that you learn to love when they're first started off, and then they morph and change and add members and change members. And, you know, you want to say that, I'm into the band, and okay. But that's hard to do whenever the band members change a lot. And this did, it had to, because of the different interests in the groups and the different abilities. And, you know, they're made up of people, and people change, and people have different interests, and people, you know, in one instance said he left the band because he became a Christian. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Why would you leave a band if you're whatever? You could be a Christian and be a lead singer of a band, but whatever. It's fine. But yeah, they had huge hits right off the bat. Let's see. I'm scrolling as I go. Keep on loving you. Can't fight this feeling. I can't fight this feeling any longer. They had a lot of hits. I mean, I was amazed. I was reading the stuff here. Riding the Storm Out. I don't know where I've seen or heard Riding the Storm Out, but it may have been something in a movie that really got me excited, or it may have been my stepdad who listened to it in his car really loud. But I always loved that song. I don't know why, but anyway, I dug it. It was fun. The band was fun. And listen, the lead singer, I looked him up, the version that they have now, he's been the singer for quite a while. He is 72 years old. So, you know, I got a picture. Okay. They're forming this tour, and if you look at their history, they've teamed up with bands like Styx and Chicago and Loverboy and stuff like that, you know, to do their tours. Bands that are around the same age, and they can tour together, and they have a good time, and they're similar interests and that sort of thing. And same kind of crowds that love to come to their shows, which is true. I mean, all of that's true. But yeah, coming out of the gates, you get Rick Springfield, super high energy, really a one-hit wonder, let's face it. I mean, that's kind of what he is. But puts on a heck of a show, gets you entertained. I didn't know a lot of the songs, but I was still entertained. There was only a few that I was just like, okay, whatever. But for the most part, put on a great show and got people entertained and kept people into it. I noticed one of the biggest differences, though, is that he is a rock star, and he has a band behind him. And there's moments where they're showing like a music video behind on the screen, and he includes the band, but it's Rick Springfield. Like, kind of like REO Speedwagon is a band. Rick Springfield is the act. So it's sort of like, you know, hey, I am the draw, so put the spotlight on me. Not on the lead guitarist over here doing his thing, but on me. I'm the guy. I'm going to dance around, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to take my shirt off, and I'm going to do that. And you guys are going to Google me later and talk about it everywhere, probably on your podcast, about me being 74 and still being able to rock it. And here we are doing that. Okay. And then you go to REO Speedwagon, and they're all really, really fantastic music artists, but it's not a person. It's a band. So the band all has the spotlight on them, and they're all performing incredibly well. And it's impressive. It's very impressive. They sang two songs right off the bat last night to kick it off, where I knew both of the songs. I could sing along. And then they played about, I don't know, six songs that I never heard before. He even says a comment. He's like, all right, this was on our album from 72 on the B side. And sing along if you know the lyrics. And I'm like, what? I was born in 74. I don't know. I mean, granted, I was probably one of the younger people in the audience. But I mean, I'm turning 50 this year, and I was like, So I just listened. I was like, okay, this is a song. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it means something to them. Which the guy did stop and talk to the audience and talk about how, you know, he got to walk around Florence and eat some food and go shopping and talk to people. And, you know, it was a lot about just talking to people and building community. And I liked that. I thought that was all positive. So anyway, had a great time. Lost my voice last night at a certain point, singing along. It was a lot of fun. We got to go with friends. We got to see friends in the crowd, and all of that was a lot of fun. So, yeah. If you have the chance to go see a band in your area, check it out. And especially if you have a chance to help your smaller venue see things, try to do it, because it kind of encourages other people to show up to your town. Maybe people you're super into. I've never paid money for Rick Springfield or REO Speedwagon music. Never. But I could see downloading a few songs just to kind of rock out in the background of being like, oh yeah, I have that memory. Because, you know, music ties your brain into memories and such. But with the success of the show, maybe they get to book other bands. Or maybe this band comes back and rocks out again, and maybe it brings a bigger crowd. Who knows? A lot of it is getting the people in your community used to going to the thing. My buddy Greg lives down in Albany, Georgia, and he made a comment that he realized that him and his wife just needs to go to everything that comes to their town, because eventually it'll mean that bigger bands will come to their town. And it did. Got to go down there and watch Collective Soul play, and that was pretty cool. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things where success breeds success. So support local artists, support big artists coming to your local area. And, you know, we live in this digital click and point generation where everything you want can be had right now. And literally we're in a position where some of the biggest bands are traveling and could be in your area. You know, REO Speedwagon's inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they came to Florence and played really well. So yeah, it can happen. Who knows? I might be able to see Pearl Jam here one day. Who knows? It could happen. I mean, they play everywhere else in the world. I can dream, right? Anyway, let's go on to stuff I heard, okay? So I've been trying to reach out to people and ask them what they're into and what they've watched and what they've enjoyed, and find something to help me find something to tell you about so that you can enjoy something. So talking to a friend of mine, Quade, at work, we were discussing John Cena. I don't know how we got on the subject of John Cena, but we were talking about John Cena, and he was like, hey, have you seen these movies where he's on like vacation and he bumps into these guys and they become friends on vacation, and then it just gets crazy after that? And I was like, what? And we Googled it. He said he couldn't remember the name of it. We looked it up. And it's called Vacation Friends. And I came home and looked it up where I could see it. And it's on Hulu right now. But here's the rundown of the movie. Marcus and Emily enjoy an unusual week without inhibitions when they meet new friends on vacation. But they are horrified when Ron and Kayla show up uninvited to their wedding. This was actually a lot of fun as a movie. John Cena to me impresses me every time I watch him do any acting, because you can tell that he's getting better and better at acting. I've been watching him in a lot of things lately. You know, Peacemaker on HBO is one of the examples of him playing a very flawed, supposed to be superhero, but is he a superhero? He's kind of weird. He's kind of messed up. He looks like the guy that you literally fashion out of a idea of what a superhero wrestler, pro wrestler turned actor looked like. And yet he's awesome. he was in the Marine Corps. He became a wrestler, you know, an actor, and the rest is history. And this impressed me because he has a ton of dialogue that he has to learn, and also sort of change as the show goes on. But not necessarily change himself. He changes the other people around him to think and be like him. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but it was interesting to watch. I enjoyed it. To me, the main character, Marcus, is very precise and planned and sort of stuck up and crazy about his own life in a very controlling way because he's so scared that things are going to go wrong. And then he meets this, him and his, you know, fiance, they meet this couple who's just living free and just by the seat of their pants, making it somehow. And then you find out there's more depth to these people and there's more about who they are. And together they become a better version of themselves because they kind of rub off on each other. And yeah, I enjoyed it. So I enjoyed it so much that I thought, hey, that was so great. I'll watch Vacation Friends 2 because there's a second one. Because somebody was like, you know what? Let's give them a second one. Now, the second one, they brought more actors. you got Steve Buscemi and Ronnie Chang. He's a stand-up comedian. And right off the bat, when I'm watching this, my first thought was, you didn't need to make a second one. The first one was fine. This one's trying too hard to be everything and nothing all at the same time. And it's just, I don't know, it was too much. I did like Rodney Chang in this. I thought he was great. Didn't care for Steve Buscemi's character at all. The story was kind of roughly thrown together. John Cena still brought it. He was still excellent in this. Lil Ray Howery, I guess, plays Marcus. He was still great. The cast was still great. Everybody did their parts really well. It's just the story was kind of piecemeal together. But anyway, so Vacation Friends, check it out on Hulu. All right. So then discussing what I could watch with friends, I was talking to somebody and they said, have you seen this show? It's on Netflix right now. It's called Resident Alien. And I was like, what? And it's got Alan Tudyk in it. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. T-U-D-Y-K. I've seen him in a ton of things. He always plays a very interesting character with crazy voices and such. A Knight's Tale, Dodgeball, Firefly, Moana. He did one of the voices. what was the TV show? I'm trying to look this up as I go. Yeah. Ton of stuff. Check him out. But this show kept showing as like, you may like this. And of course, Netflix kind of knows me. I mean, let's face it. We're basically buddies now. so this show, it shows this guy. And here's the rundown of the show. An alien crashes on Earth and hides in a remote Colorado mountain town. After assuming the identity of the town doctor, Harry Vanderspiegel, his nefarious mission to kill all humans is threatened when he realizes one of the townspeople, a 9-year-old boy, can see his true alien form. So right away, he's supposed to be like the super advanced race, but you go, wait a second, he's flawed because a 9-year-old boy can see who he is? Okay. Harry starts off living a simple life, but then things get a bit rocky when he's roped into solving a local murder and realizes he needs to assimilate into his new world to slowly begin to wrestle with the moral dilemma of his secret mission on Earth. Basically, he falls in love with the people of the town and doesn't want to kill the people of the town, even though he's supposed to. It's a comedy. Like this is actually really funny. It's got a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. There's three seasons out. I've seen two seasons. Two of the seasons are on Netflix. I don't know where the third season is. But I like the show. I like all of the characters. They're all very entertaining in their own special way. Linda Hamilton is in this. She's, remember her? Yeah. Sarah Connor from Terminator. Yeah. Linda Hamilton is in it. So great cast. Even the kids are great. The story is interesting. It's kind of silly. Obviously, there are some filler episodes where they're just passing time. But overall, the special effects are pretty cool with him as an alien and being able to shapeshift. And it's weird because the boy can see him as the alien. So there's times where he's just wearing like normal people clothes and he's got the alien face on because you're supposed to be able to see what the boy sees. And then there's other characters that can see him. There's another guy that pops up who's supposed to be an alien hunter and he can see that he's him. And yeah, I don't know. The overall thing that I got from watching this show is that everything seems alien until you talk to them, until you talk to a person, right? We all have preconceptions of what is going on, and we all think we know the answers, and we all try to speculate and think that it's us versus them, and those are the bad guys, we're the good guys, and all of that stuff, until you talk to people, and then you realize you have something way more in common with them than you think. Or you actually find out that you like them. And that's sort of the message for everybody. I mean, we all feel alienated. We all feel like we are outsiders until we're not, until we're part of a community, until we're part of a group of people who understand us and like us, even though we have flaws and even though we may look different or act different or think differently. So I like the show. I think the show is smarter than people give it credit for. And I really like Andy. I think he's an interesting guy. I think he does a voice on the Harley Quinn show that's on HBO of a shape-shifting mud man. I think he's made of mud. But he does this overly dramatic voice, which is hilarious. But yeah, I love the show. So anyway, check it out if you get a chance. I highly encourage you. So that's it. I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you to everybody who's listening and paying attention and watching me on YouTube and all of that fun stuff. Yeah, maybe this gives you some idea of something to check out or gives you something to tune into. I've heard Rich say that he likes the show Furies. It's supposed to be a French Revolution type show that's on Netflix. I'm going to have to check that out. And there's also something coming on. It came on this week called Three Body Problem. It's made by the Game of Thrones people, from what I understand. Everybody except for the writer, like the producers of it, made this. And there's a lot of actors from the Game of Thrones in this. But it sounds like it's right up my alley, so I'm going to check that out too. And if you're not paying attention, the March Madness is going on right now, and lots of good basketball on television if you're into that sort of thing. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you get a chance to see one of these bands in your local area, go check them out. It's a great time. I actually had a really good time. So yeah, I'm going to wrap this up by saying cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Move, baby.